I was blessed when Andrew mentioned and Joan remembered too that it's Pentecost. Pentecost is all about the power of God when the Holy Spirit came to the people of God and they were empowered with His power, the power of the Holy Spirit from on high. And you know, I want to talk a bit about the power of God today. And we were talking a few weeks ago about Andrew threw a challenge out to us one Wednesday night, and we were talking about the gifts, and he was saying, what gift are you going to allow God to birth in you? God wants to birth gifts in all of us, and we all need to be filled with the power of God so that we can minister, not just to one as another in the body, but to those out there, to the Glyns of this world and to the Chrises of this world. And to the Tonys, we need to be empowered to do this. We need to know what God is saying, because God knows all about these individuals. And we need to hear God's voice that we can minister effectively to them. But you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's talking about body ministry and about the gifts that God gives into the church. He gives the gifts of apostles and he gives the gifts of miracles and healing. And people tend to think that the most visible gifts are the most important gifts. But that's not so in God's kingdom. God's a very diverse God, and he gives different gifts. And each one is complete in itself, and then one complements another. And Paul likens it to a body. You know, a body functions. It has all different parts, and it has parts that we see and it has parts that we don't see. But they're all just as important. And what Paul says there, he says, this is to prove that the visible gifts are not the most important ones. Because you see the eye and you think the eye is beautiful. But you know, we can live without an eye, but you can't live without a stomach, can you? And that stomach isn't seen, but it's a very, very important part. And so those of us who feel that we're more like in a serving ministry, and for those who very, very devotedly and every week come and set up the equipment, and for Joan who feeds us, and for Pauline and Lynn and others, and that provide the food for on a Friday night and on a Wednesday and on Sundays. It's all body ministry and it's all just as important. But you know, Pentecost is all about power. It's about Jesus coming to give gifts to the body. And we need to know, we need to be ready to receive those gifts. And this afternoon I want to tell you a little bit about how we can receive those gifts. And the most important gift that you can ever have flowing through your life is the love of God. That's His love flowing through you. Now that love flowing through you will work immeasurably. It has no limits to it. And it will bring all the gifts of God. And all the gifts of God work through love. It's not just a short verse, it's the end of a verse in 1 John 4. In verse 8, at the end of the line, it says, "For God is love." You know that, don't you, Tony? God is love. It's what He's made up of. If you cut Him through down the middle, it'll say love all the way through. That's what God is. That's what motivates Him, His love. And that's what He wants to be motivating us. And I think also when you say God is love, you can also say that love is God. When we operate in love, we are operating in the most powerful force in the universe. There's no greater force in the whole of the universe than the force of the power of love. We used to sing a song. We don't sing it these days. They sort of we have fads, don't we? We go through different songs. And one song we used to sing at one time was, "More love, more power, more of you in my life." A fabulous song, and the words there are very true. If you want more power, then let me suggest today you need more love, because God's power works through love. It's perfected by love. It said, I didn't actually look where the scripture is found, but there's that scripture that says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We've heard what the gospel is this afternoon. The gospel is that Jesus was nailed to a cross. He gave his life. He laid down his life so that he could conquer sin and death and hell and sickness and disease and poverty and failure and hopelessness. All these negatives, Jesus laid down his life. And that was the greatest love that a man could ever give, is to lay down his life for his friends. And how is love defined? Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 12, Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and then he goes into the way of love. And he said, you can speak with human eloquence, you can speak with angelic ecstasy, but if you don't love, you're nothing. You're a creaking gate or a rusty can. That's totally useless, isn't it? Absolutely useless. If you speak God's word with power and reveal all his mysteries and make everything as plain as day, if you have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, and you don't have love, you're absolutely nothing. You're useless. You may as well be thrown out with the trash. If I give everything I own to the poor and I even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. It's a very powerful statement, isn't it? Totally bankrupt without love. The world would tell you that love's an emotion. That love is motivated by feelings. But let me tell you this, and this is a certain fact. Love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. It was a decision for God to send Jesus. It was a decision that Jesus made because he loved us, to die for us. It wasn't an emotion that led him to the cross. It was a decision. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. The first thing it says love is, or love does, love never gives up. The world can be very fickle, can't it? If you don't do as I want you to do, if you don't suit me, if you don't live up to my expectations, if you don't live the way I think you should live, then I don't want to know you. Human love is very conditional, but God's love, it never gives up. It always hopes. God's love cares more for others than for itself. Perhaps we just need to do a quick health check here. Love cares more for others than for itself. It's easy to, and I think this is something we need to guard against as a fellowship. For a long time we've been in a bubble, a comfort zone. And God's love says it's time to pop that bubble and get you out of this comfort zone, and I'm going to ruffle your feathers a little bit. But you know, we've got to be big enough to stand our feathers being ruffled. Because it's not about me, it's not about you. It's about those outside who need to know the power and the love of God in their lives. There's too many hurting, wounded people out there, and Jesus loves them. We need to be ready for them. I was reading a booklet of Kenneth Copeland's, and he was talking about Matthew 14. And I'm not going to turn to it, but it's a story of when John the Baptist was beheaded. And John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. And he was the forerunner. He came before Jesus. He was, I believe, 6 months older than Jesus. And he started his ministry before Jesus. And he started to tell the world that Jesus was coming and who he was. And he prepared the ground for Jesus. And he was a very key person in Jesus' life. And John the Baptist was beheaded. He'd done nothing wrong. He'd been imprisoned. He was beheaded because a drunken man gave in to the whim of a woman who was very bitter and twisted. And as a result, John the Baptist lost his head. And when the disciples saw it, they actually took John's body and buried it. And then they went to find Jesus to tell him. Not that he didn't already know, I'm sure. But when they got to Jesus and they told him, Jesus wanted to go away to a quiet place. And so he started to move out, away from the crowd, to find a solitary place, probably to talk to the disciples and to show them how to come to terms with such things. Maybe he too was hurting. Maybe he too felt that pain. I'm sure he did. He went through things that we would go through and do go through. And you know, the Bible tells us that he couldn't even be on his own because everybody followed him. And when he got to where he thought would be a quiet place, there was a crowd waiting for him, and that crowd was wanting to be healed. They were looking for healing and wholeness. And you know, Jesus didn't focus on his own hurt. He didn't focus on his own pain. He didn't dwell on what had happened. He put it to one side and he said to his disciples, there's those out here that need healing. There's those here that need. I can't dwell in misery and self-pity and bitterness and resentment. There's a needy world out there. Those people need my power. And we have to look at life in the same way. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't envy. It doesn't strut. It's not self-important. It doesn't have a swelled head. It's not full of pride. It doesn't force itself on others. It's not dominant and controlling. It isn't always me first. It doesn't demand its own way. It doesn't fly off the handle. It's patient. It's not irritable and touchy. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. The world is great for holding grudges. But that's not love. Love says, let it go. You know, one day I might need your forgiveness. So I'll learn to forgive. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything, even being a doormat. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. It never looks back, but it keeps going to the end. Love never looks back. You know, Philippians 3 and verse 13 tells us quite clearly, if we live in the past, we haven't got a future. I'd like to say that to Glyn and to Chris, to Tony, all of us. If we're going to live in the past, then forget your future. You haven't got one. We have to let go of the past if we're to have a future. I know somebody very close to us that won't let go of the past, and the only person they hurt is themselves. They never hurt the person that they're bitter against. But you know, bitterness, there's no room for it in God's economy. If you want a life, let go of all bitterness and strife. I want a future. I've got a good future in God, haven't you, Carol? Amen. And I'm not living in the past. The past is done with. Even 5 minutes ago is past. It's finished. Just get rid of it. Don't focus on it. You know, love has great values. And I think it's, when I was thinking about this today, I was thinking how the devil likes to erode Christian values. This nation was built on Christian values. And the devil is constantly seeking to erode them. Why? Because it's wanting to weaken the nation. Without love, you're a weak person. You're ineffective, and that's what the devil wants to do with people nowadays. He's trying to get the younger generation to weaken their values, to erode their values, and to become weak and ineffective. Don't do it. Follow what God says. Take his values and live a life that's worth living. Live a life of fullness. The last verse there said, love never dies. Love never fails. You know, if you're feeling a failure, it's time to walk in love. Love never fails. God never fails. And I think we can use the two words. What's that word I'm looking for? The two words run together, don't they? The same thing, God and love, they are the same thing. But it's interesting that in this 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us all about love, how ineffective love the gifts of God are, or power gifts are without love. And then it tells us what love is. And then at the very end, it talks about immaturity. And how when we're children, I think I need my amplified Bible here. When you're children, you do immature things. And That's what a child is. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now I've become a man. I'm done with childish ways and have put them aside. And then he goes on to say, and I believe what Paul is saying here, while ever we're immature and childish, then the power of God is not working through us. We're doing what Paul says in verse 12. We're looking in a mirror that only gives a dim, blurred reflection. But when perfection comes, we see in reality, we see God face to face. And I believe that the way of love, the way to know and to move in the power of God, is to become mature with his love. Maturity increases the power of God in your life. If you want to see signs, wonders, miracles, then we need to walk in the love of God, because that love is powerful. That love is a mature love, and God wants us to reach maturity. It's time to put away the imperfect so that the perfect might come. And that perfect is the power of God. Ephesians 3 and verse 19, if you'll turn to that. God wants to look at you face to face. He wants you to see him face to face. And maturity, growing in love, will bring you to that place where you can see him face to face. In 1 John 4 and verse 17, it says there that as God is, so are we in this world. We are here to do the work of God and to do it powerfully and effectively. Paul has got a prayer here in Ephesians 3. And I'll read it from verse 14 in the Amplified. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you were built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family on heaven and on earth is named, that the Father, from whom all fatherhood takes its title, may grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell and abide and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height and depth of that love, that you may know for yourself the love of Christ which passes mere knowledge, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that is, you may have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. You think, wow, is that really attainable? And I want to say to us this afternoon, that is attainable if we will be mature and we will grow up and we will let the love of God flow through us. Now to him who by power of that love at work within us is able to do superabundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think. That love can do infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes or dreams. Do you want to do an experience of that? To go immeasurably beyond your highest hopes, thoughts, dreams. I do. I want to soar into that realm where those dreams, and we can do superabundantly above anything that we dare ask or think. God's power at work in us. You know, so I want to say this afternoon that the level of our love regulates the effectiveness of the gifts that God has given to us and wants to give to us. Maturity will bring us to the fullness and the power of God. And in 1 Corinthians 14 in the Message, the very first verse, and I think it follows straight in, it links chapter 13 and chapter 14 together, because it says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. I don't want an existence, do you, Glenn? Don't want an existence. I want a life. I want a life full of the power of God. I want a life that speaks to those outside. I want a life to reach those who are desperate and hurting and hopeless and wounded. I want to minister right into their situations. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I want His full power to work through me. And God would say to me, let go of the past. Grow up. Be mature. That's the road that will take you through to the fullness of God. Maturity will lead you to the fullness of God. God wants it. Do you? I do. And can I suggest that the way to achieve it, firstly, is a decision to desire it. And secondly, is to pray every day. And you'll learn it off by heart after a while. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Those two verses. Set yourself a goal. I'm going to learn these. And even if I haven't got my Bible with me, when I'm walking around doing my daily jobs, when I'm driving in the car, when I'm sat in traffic, I can say this prayer. I can quote it to God. I can stand on it. I can believe that I shall receive it and that I shall be filled with the fullness of God. So it's Pentecost, significant. It's a day of power for the church. And I would suggest to us today that that power comes through maturity. That love is God's power. And we need it. We all need it. And the world needs it. So let's do it, folks. Amen. Praise God.